You have a Bible tonight, you'll find our text in the book of Galatians. Book of Galatians. Let me say what a joy it has been to be here these days. And we thank the Lord for all that He's done, both seen and unseen. I am convinced that God's done a lot more that we cannot see than what we can see. Appreciate Doc allowing me to be here these days and giving us this open door and all your kindness and graciousness has been greatly appreciated. And I'm glad I got to cross over your path. I would remind you, if you're interested, we do have a study website. It's not committed to the promotion of me, but it's committed to the study of the Word of God. It's TomGillum.com. I've been writing there for some 5 years, several hundred Bible studies there. We put a couple of new ones on every day. We have a daily devotional page there. We're right now musing through the minor prophets. And then there's an audio page there where you can listen to messages or burn them to CDs. All of that material on that website is free. If you're interested in studying the Word of God, it is available. We've also been with a couple of others in starting an internet radio site, vocradio.org. It's 24 hours a day. I know this would probably not sit well with you. Southern gospel music and old-time preaching, if you're interested in that. We're on at 9:30 in the morning, we're on at 3:30 in the afternoon, we're on at 9:30 at night, and we're on again at 3:30 in the morning. So if you can't sleep at 3:30 in the morning, I'll be there, vocradio.org. We want to conclude our thoughts tonight, if you have a Bible, in the book of Galatians. We've been preaching since Monday night on various and sundry people in the Bible and their relationship with a tree. We've been preaching on being rightly related to the tree. We began Monday night looking at Adam and Eve. We found them behind a tree. It was the tree of the fallen. We moved in our thoughts to Elijah. We found him under a tree. It was the tree of the fainting. We also looked in Psalms 1 at David. He said he was like a tree. It was the tree of the fruitful. Then we looked last evening at old Zacchaeus. He was up a tree. It was the tree of the favored. I'm certainly sure there's no problem with you thinking where we would go tonight. I'd like to look tonight at Christ. He's on a tree. And it is the tree of the finished. If you have your Bible there tonight, Galatians chapter 3, verse number 13. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. I guess this verse became more real to me some time ago when I realized why David got so upset, cried and hollered when they came and told him that his boy Absalom had been hung in a tree. Because David knew very clearly that cursed is anyone that hangeth on a tree. David was well aware that his son Absalom had gone to hell with his clothes on. And he was deeply bothered by it. But a greater son of David, he hang on a tree so I wouldn't have to go to hell with my clothes on. As we begin to look tonight at the tree of the finished Christ hanging on a tree, so much completed here, so much finished here, so much accomplished here. It is bigger than me missing hail and getting heaven. If that's all you got tonight, you don't have much from this tree. So magnified in the songs that have been written when I was on the cross, when he was on the cross, I was on his mind. Not the world, me. He was dying for me. Thanks to Calvary, I don't come here anymore. Love grew where the blood fell. So much was accomplished at Calvary. And in the book of Galatians, Paul spends his time telling us what was accomplished with this one who was cursed on the tree. As we begin to look at it tonight, I would turn our attention here in chapter number 3, verse number 1. I want us to see, first of all, tonight, as Christ hang on a tree, he freed his people from a self-effort. He freed us from a self-effort. One of the self-efforts that he freed us was from a salvation work. I've got good news tonight. You don't have to do anything to get saved. He did it all. Wow, what a deal. Man, you couldn't beat that if Walmart had a blue light special. Are you listening to me? Watch the text. He says in verse number 1, O foolish Galatians. The little word foolish, it is our little word blockhead. Or, if you please, air, A-I-R, airhead. Air go in here, air come out there. Paul calls these people, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set for crucified among you? Watch the salvation work that he's freed you from having to do anything to get saved. Verse number 2. He says, this only would I learn of you. Receive ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? I was wondering tonight, not being nosy, did you get saved tonight by doing something or by hearing something? Wow. If you got saved by the hearing of faith tonight, it was because God gave you ears to hear tonight. You're talking about these ears? God forbid. Talking about these ears. I've often thought, you reckon when Jesus preached there was some kind of atomic problem with the water and there was a bunch of people in the audience that was earless? Because he was constantly saying, if any of you got ears, let him hear. Well, they ear? No, there's a lot of them didn't have no ears down here. I can't pinpoint the exact time, but I know the general period when I first realized that God talked to me and I could hear him. I was wondering tonight, not being nosy, God talked to you. You say, preacher, he never said anything to me. Will you make yourself a note? God only talks to his people. Wow. He's freed us from a salvation work. See, tonight, I never knowed I was dead until he made me alive. I never knew I was in the dark until he had brought me into the light. See, everything I did in salvation, he had already done it before I did it, making me do what I did. Oh, I wished I could say that again. Wasn't that good? Before I reached up, he reached down.
Before I chose him, he done chose me. Before I ever received or accepted him, he had done received and accepted me. He did everything before I did it, making me do what I did. What in the world I want to talk about what I did? Let's talk about what he did. Freed me from having to do anything. Are you listening to me tonight? Oh, I'm so glad tonight that he freed us from a self-effort. But it's bigger than that. And here is where I'm going to lose some of you. Maybe even make you mad. Not only has he freed us from a self-effort of a salvation work, but he's freed you and I from a self-effort of a sanctifying work. Ruh-roh. You mean I don't have to do nothing? That's what he said. Watch the text, verse number 3. Here he comes with that airhead thing again, blockhead. Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit? Are you now made perfect by the flesh? Sanctifying work. How were you saved? By hearing or by doing? Most of you did this with that hearing thing. How are you sanctified tonight? By keeping a list of do's and don'ts. See, tonight, years ago, it was a great freedom to me when I learned I couldn't be a Christian. It was impossible. I quit trying to be one. Matter of fact, I realized there's never been but one Christian, was Jesus Christ. And when he's living inside of me, the Christian life is not something I produce. It is something he reproduces in me and through me. Wow, that set me free. I wonder how many of you here tonight have got a little list of do's and don'ts. You call them your convictions and standards. Wow. I went to 60 places last year and preached. All of them have got a list. And I don't know which one to keep. I'm confused. Because some weeks I can and some weeks I can't. Some weeks I can go to the beach and some weeks I need to go to the coast. I just get confused. Are you listening to me tonight? He has freed you from all that, hon. Matter of fact, sometimes on Saturday my wife will ask me, can we or can't we this week? Can we wear it or can't we wear it? I thought that it was original with B.B. Caldwell. But I found in reading that it wasn't original with Caldwell. It was original with Augustine. Someone had asked the both of them, did they have any convictions and standards? Did they have any do's and don'ts? Both of them said they didn't have none. Wow. Preacher, stand up and said, I don't have no standards and convictions. Wow. They said, well, don't you have a little rule of thumb about what's right and wrong? I heard Caldwell on tape say it. I thought it was original with him. But then I read it later in Augustine. It was original with him. He made this statement. He said, love God with all your heart and then do as you please. I love the hound out of that. Wow. Wouldn't it be wonderful if a bunch of you tonight would bring your list of do's and don'ts and leave them here and start loving God with all your heart? Hey, I was wondering tonight, just being nosy, do you think when God gets ready to judge us, he's going to call you up and say, I want your list. Boy, that was a good one you got. I'm going to use it. We'll judge everybody out of that one. You know what he's going to do? He's going to mess me and you up because he's going to bring his son up there. Wow. That's going to be much bigger than a list. Are you listening to me tonight? He has freed us on the cross when he cried out, "It is finished." I don't know about you, I'm not testifying for you, but I'm so free in Christ. What I've got in Christ cannot be tampered with. That I could sit under a Christmas tree tonight, eat an Easter egg with my Halloween costume on, and it wouldn't bother nothing I've got in God. Are you listening to me tonight? He has finished it, hon. And all of your do. Paul said this. He said he piled up all his do. Some of you are getting it. Do. And he said it was a big pile of dung. And he said, "I'd rather have Christ than all my do. Are you listening to me tonight? Honey, he's not fascinated with the fact that you give up all that stuff. Some of you give up everything but drinking ice water now and you ain't no closer to God. I meet ladies all the time, they give up pets, they give up all that stuff. It's still mean as a devil. Got anything to do with it? He's freed us from a self-effort tonight. Wouldn't it be wonderful tonight if you traded your do for his done? Well, you may even get in a service and do this instead of sitting there like, "Yeah, I got the do. Now I got the done. Wow, wouldn't that be wonderful? Are you still with me? You ain't left. That's the roughest part of the sermon. I wanted to get that out of the way real quick before some of you died. Notice again, if you've got the Bible, not only does he free us from a self-effort, but second of all, he cried out, "It's finished." He forgave us from sin's excess. I read a bumper sticker not long ago. It said, "I'm not perfect. I'm just forgiven." I wanted to blow the horn at them and tell them I'm perfect. What? I'm perfect. What? I'm perfect. All, all my sins are gone. Wow. When God looks at me now, doesn't see me no more, just sees his son. And guess what? He thinks his son's perfect. And he thinks I am too. Wow. Some of you, if you ever realized all your sin was gone, you'd kick it back in out of your choir robe. You're listening to me tonight. You cannot have God dwell upon you tonight and realize your sins are gone, and your response would be this. If you've got in your closet what I've got in my closet and realize they're not in there anymore, wow, I get excited. Watch the text. Forgave us sin's excess. Just for a second now, just a second, I'm going to do this. Hold your finger there in Galatians and turn over with me to Matthew's Gospel, chapter number 5. I want to look at the demands of the law. What does God demand out of you and out of I in order for us to go to heaven? You ever given any thought?
Well, preacher, I've been down the Romans Road, German Road, French Road. I've been saved. I preached such a prayer vows about 40 years ago. I made a profession, got baptized.
Do you think that's what it takes for you to go to heaven? Honey, I'm going to tell you something. You're going to miss it so far. It's going to scare you. What is the demands of the law that God has set in order for you and I to ever see Him? Look at Matthew 5:48. Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Wow. That's going to put some of you out. You ain't going to get to go. Got to be perfect. I heard a preacher some time ago, he told me that little word perfect means mature. So I took the little word perfect out and I stuck mature in there and I read it. Be ye therefore mature, even as your Father which is in heaven is mature. I don't think He's mature. I do think He's perfect. Peter comes along and says, be ye holy, even as my Father in heaven is holy. Gracious, hon, how in this world are you going to satisfy the just demands of the law? He says, I ain't letting you go to heaven unless you're perfect. All you've done is quit spitting brown and give up your pants and you don't go to the beach and you ain't going to movies. Wow, you're going to have to be bigger than that. You got to be perfect or you ain't going. And where are you going? Preacher just told me to pray a sinner's prayer, preach and everything be all right. And just take up their little list and I'll be okay. And here the Bible says, I got to be perfect or I'm not going. Talking about the demands of the law. Go back with us to the Galatians. Talking about He forgave us now sin's excess. Look again in Galatians. Notice not only the demands of the law, but notice in Galatians chapter 3 and verse number 8. The demonstration of life. He says, in the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the... How many of you can identify with this word? Heathen. I know some of you think about them folks in India. Boy, that's real heathens. Oh no, there's some sitting right here. I is one. Heathen. Watch what he says here. He says in the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith. I was interested in that little word, justify. Wow. The little word is a term that means to impute something to someone else or declare them to be something they are not. Wow. God said when He died on the cross, He declared His people to be holy, righteous, just like Him. I was interested in that little word, justify. I heard somebody say not long ago, it means just as if I never sinned. I don't believe a word of it. It don't mean that. Because when He looks at me now, all He sees is Jesus. And surely He don't think Jesus is just as if He never sinned. Oh no. When He looks at Jesus, He realizes He ain't never sinned. Wow. So now when He looks at me, He sees me as having never sinned. My past sins are gone. My present sins are gone. My future sins are gone. Wow. You ought to say, like preacher back here, you hear what he said? Hallelujah. Wow, that sounds like somebody just dawned on them before. They wouldn't sit there like this. Wow, hallelujah. I was thinking, I know some of you think, well, preacher, I'd go along with the past. Maybe the present, but you mean the sins I hadn't even done yet? They're gone. That's what he said. I'm sure some of you have realized, it's dawned on you, that I didn't do well in school, especially in English. But I did learn that the past was yesterday. Present's today. Future's tomorrow. I don't want y'all to get emotional now. But this is yes. This is no. This is a chiropractor. I'm going to ask you a question. Yes, no. Do you believe when Jesus died on the cross that He took your sin upon Him and became sin for you? This is yes. This is no. Chiropractor. Ask the question again. Watching the heads now. Love to see them bobble. Do you believe that He became sin for you? Some of you are looking at everybody. Could I ask you another question? What English verb tense were my sin in then? Wasn't they all future then? He said He took them away and I hadn't even done them yet. Wow, what a deal. Gracious. And you're going to sit there and not say, "Woo, hallelujah, glory to God, they're all gone." I was wondering, preacher, back here with the little baby that didn't want to be quiet tonight. When she was born here recently, did she have any past? She didn't tell you anything about... You mean y'all didn't sit around and she talked about her past, how bad... You mean she didn't have one at all? Wow. He says the physical birth and the new birth are similar. So when I got born again, I ain't got no past. I ain't got to sit around with the people and talk about it. I ain't got to get around with a knucklehead psychologist and we talk about what, oh me, I'm all messed up. My daddy had a 2-car garage and we only had 1 car and it messed me all up. No! My past is gone! No wonder Paul said, forgetting those things which are behind. Press towards the mark. Glad I've been justified tonight. My past is gone. And I'm going to tell you something. If you really knew my past, there's a couple of things you would do. You would watch your pocketbook and your bill folder. And you would not want to hang around me much if you knew my past. But I got good news. It's gone. Hallelujah. Glory to God. See, He forgave us from sin's excess. The demands of the law. He demands that I be perfect. Christ died on the cross. He orchestrated the fact that one day, here in time, Christ would be placed inside of me. Because before the foundation of the world, I was placed in Him. Wow, you can't beat that. You ought to get excited about that. Hey, please, 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 some of you warn me when you're going to get excited so I'll look. I want to see what it looks like. Because if I was preaching down south, they'd be jumping pews by now. Well, sins are gone. Wow, what a thought. But watch this. Oh, this is so good. I hate to even show you this. Chapter 3 and verse number 13. Not only did He forgive us from sin's excess, the demands of the law, the demonstration of life, but notice the deliverance of the Lord. He talks in verse number 13, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. The word redeem is so big in the Bible that it takes God 3 pictures to explain it of what He did when He redeemed us from the curse of the law. One of those is illustrated in 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. He said, "You are not your own, for you have been..." Picture word for redeemed.
He said, you've been bought with a price. Wow. He said, when I died on the cross, he said, I wasn't spilling my blood. He said, I didn't die hoping you'd get saved. No! He said, I died knowing you'd get saved. He said, I'm paying the price. I love that, don't you? The second picture word for the word redeemed is our text here in Galatians 3:13. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. Not only did he buy me, pay the price, but this little word redeem, it has the idea of becoming one with him. It is literally the idea. I got 12 grandchildren. I got 3 on the way. I know I don't look like I'm old enough to even have kids, but soon have, and got 2 grandchildren in heaven. But I hear them sometimes when they're talking and they're discussing toys. One of them will say, "Mine." Here it is. In this oneness, not only did he pay a price for me, he said, "You're mine." Wow. He put ownership on me. Mine. See, when the devil comes around and messes with me, he hears this. Mine. Wow. I love that, don't you? Mine. That's all he's got to say. Devil's gone. I love that, don't you? Wow. But the third one, the third picture is in Titus chapter 2 and verse 14. I'll read that in your hearing real quick. I got to hurry. I know it's time to go. I don't know where y'all are going around here. I didn't see anything coming in here. Wow. Titus chapter number 2 and verse 14. He said, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all, that's pretty inclusive, isn't it? Iniquity. The little word redeem there is a little word of freedom or letting you go. Wow. He said, I paid the price for you. I paid for you. He said, then I put ownership on your mind. Now, he said, I let you go. And the true child of God immediately flies back. Said, you've been such a good master to me. Such a good Lord to me. I want to be a willing slave to you. We live in an economy where people don't like that word slavery. Boy, I ain't being nobody's slave. I know one thing. He ain't never set you free. Because if he ever set you free, you know what you did. You flew right back and you said, boy, you've been too good to me. I want to be a willing slave to you. Yes, sir, Mr. Bossman. I'm reporting for duty. Are you listening to me tonight? I'm glad that he has freed me from sin's excess. Can you stand just a little bit more? Notice, if you would, in Galatians chapter number 3, not only did he free us from a self-effort, forgave us from sin's excess, but he favored us with his Spirit. Favored us with his Spirit. I notice in chapter 3, in verse number 3, notice the Spirit's position. He says, are you so foolish, having begun? I'm interested in these three words here. In the Spirit. Paul said, if you have not the Spirit of Christ, you're none of his. At salvation, God, in the person of the Holy Ghost, come and got inside of you if you're saved. Wow. I got a living companion now. Whoa. Gracious.
God Almighty's living inside of me. I love it. I hear people all the time say,
"Bless me, preacher, I don't know if I'm saved or not."
Sure enough, you don't know if you're saved or not. If somebody as big as God move inside of you, you probably know it. I love what the little kindergarten girl, the teacher was talking about them inviting Jesus into their heart. Finally, after a couple of weeks, little Johnny said, "Miss Smith, I don't think I can do that." She said, "How come?" He said, "If he's as big as you say he is and I invite him into my heart, says he'll hang out everywhere." I got a good idea. If he's living inside of you, he'd probably be hanging out everywhere. You wouldn't have to put some sign on you. We premillennial, pre-trib, we're five pointers, all that other stuff, because we ain't got enough of power to blow the fuzz off of a peach. You got God living inside of you. Well, somebody will see it. Are you listening to me tonight? See, I got a living companion tonight. The Spirit of God's living inside of, but it's bigger than that. Watch this now. This is too good to be true. Look in chapter number 5. We're talking about He favored us with the Spirit. I notice not only the Spirit's position, but notice the Spirit's pleasure. He says in verse 16, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." I was interested in that little word, walk. The little word literally means to put on one's clothes. Wow. Put on one's clothes. Tonight, at about 7 o'clock, this big old shirt and this big old pair of pants was hanging over there in the closet in cabin 6. It was not going nowhere. Matter of fact, it had decided it was just going to hang out in the closet until I put it on. And after I did that, it had to go wherever I went. The good Holy Ghost said, "When I saved you," He said, "I put you on like clothes." And He said, "If you don't do what I want, go where I want, say what I want," He said, "you're going to be awful uncomfortable in this region." Hello. Wow. I'm so glad He's in there, aren't you? Huh? See, I ain't got to go back and try to remember what I did way back there if I'm saved or not. Oh, no, I don't have to even go back there. I got to live in companion. I just go wherever He tells me to. You got anything like that going on inside of you? I think some of you would have got up last night and told us about it if you had. He'd have got you up. He sure didn't tell you to sit down. Are you listening to me tonight? I'm talking about the Spirit's pleasure. But notice the Spirit's practice. He says in verse 17, the latter part of it, He says, "So that you cannot do the things that you would do. But if you be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law." I was interested in that little word, led. It means to guide you into prosperity. Success. This is awful deep. I don't know if you can get it or not. Do you know God ain't never said oops? You know God's never said anything He had to take back. If you've got the Holy Ghost living inside of you, He'll never lead you down the dead end streets. He will never lead you to get a degree in something that's not marketable. Are you listening to me tonight? He'll never lead you to marry somebody and later on you say, "Oh, Christ, I wish I'd have never seen them before." He will lead you aright. Are you listening to me tonight? You say, "Preacher, how does He lead us?" It's awful deep. I don't know if you can get it or not. David said it like this. Teach me thy way, O Lord. Lead me in a plain path. You remember him saying that? Plain path. I've come to a crossroads. A lot of you young people, in the next few months and years, you're going to come to a crossroads. You've got a choice. A, B. What should I do? Nothing. Don't move. Now you can, I've tried it. You can play multiple choice. You got a 50-50% chance of being wrong. You could play eeny, meeny, miny, moe. Still got 50% chance of being wrong. What am I going to do? Wait! What am I going to wait for? Plain path. The little phrase plain path, it is the little phrase one-laner. I got choice A and B. What am I going to do? Wait! What am I waiting for? Until I ain't got but one choice, that'll be the right one. You said, preacher, I can't wait that long. You better, because you got 50-50% chance of being wrong. And the good Holy Ghost will guide you. And you'll never have to come back out of those roads and say, oh, I wished I'd have never gone down those roads. Christ did that when he cried out, "It's finished," and was cursed on the cross for you and I. Could I look at one last thought? And I'm done. Galatians chapter number 4. Not only did he free us from a self-effort, he forgave us sin's excess. He favored us with the Spirit. But he furthered us with sonship. You are looking tonight at a Son of God. You will not hear me talking much about I'm an old sinner. When he declared me righteous, he declared me to be Saint Tom. Probably way up here north, y'all never seen a saint before. Let me give you a side view. Give you a prancing view. Saint of God. I ain't waiting for the Catholic Church to make me there too late. They got one now, they're trying to figure out what they ought to make him saint. They done watered him, done smoked him and everything else. Still don't know where he's at. Are you listening to me tonight? See, when God saved me, he declared me to be a saint, a Son of God. Past, present, future sins gone. Wow. Watch the text. Don't take my word for it. Look in chapter number 4. Look at verse number 5. To redeem them that were under the law that we might receive the adoption of sons. Well, I am an adopted son of God. How many of you tonight? Oh, let's go back to that. Let's go back to this is yes. This is no. How many of you tonight believe you're adopted? You sure? Because if you believe you're adopted, then you believe you've been picked. Is that what adoption is? You get a bunch together and say, I'll take that one. Gracious, that dawned on me one day. Because see, I've been a fat boy all my life. And I never did get picked. The only time I ever got picked, they said, we'll take old Gillum if you give us first bat. That's the only time I ever got picked. When I found out he had picked me before the foundation of the world and knew I couldn't bat, wow. Gracious, I sure wasn't going to sit in a Baptist church and do this. Don't get excited about it. Adopted me, chose me, picked me, made me a son. All of that was accomplished when I believed, God forbid. All of that was accomplished when he cried out, it is finished. It was a done deal. It dawned on me in 68. Didn't dawn on him then. I love that, don't you? Sonship's oneness. But notice in chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, there's sonship overflow. He says, and because you're sons of God, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wow. Abba, Father. I was interested in that little word, Abba, tonight. Would you say that word out loud with me on the count of three? One, two, three.
Abba. Oh, gracious, that I'm louder than y'all are. Try it again. 1, 2, 3. Abba. We're going to do it one more time, and I want you to do me a favor this time. Watch your tongue and see what your tongue does when you say it. 1, 2, 3. Abba. Did you notice what your tongue did? Nothing! It's baby talk. Dada, Papa. Wow. He made me a son of God. Now when I'm in trouble, Dada, Papa, devil fooling with me. Man! I love that, don't you? Gracious. He did all of that on the cross. But notice in chapter number 4, we see sonship's offense. Paul said in verse number 9, he said, but now, after that you have known God, or rather unknown of God, how turn you again to the weak and beggarly elements, whereunto you desire again to be in bondage? You observe days and months and times and years. He says, I'm afraid of you, lest I've bestowed upon you labor in vain. Sir, Paul said it would be very offensive to God when he's handed you a package that everything's already been done and you go back to trying to hand him your dues. But Lord, I give up my pants. I don't go to the movies anymore. I don't smoke and drink. I don't run with those that do. He said he'd be very offended at your foolishness tonight when he says, I've done it all. For you to come back and begin to talk about what you're doing to please him. He said, I'm already pleased with my son. I love that, don't you? I was thinking tonight, Governor Wellington and Napoleon were in a bloody battle outside of England. One morning the battle come to an end. Fog had set in on the river. It was a signal flashlight come across the river. And the flash said, Governor Wellington defeated. All the people in England were horrified. They were so devastated. They were so upset. But after an hour or so, the fog began to lift. And the flash come again. Governor Wellington defeated Napoleon. Well, it changed the whole thing. The day Jesus died on the cross, the disciples, oh, the fog had set in. The signal light was signaling Christ defeated. But oh, 3 days later, the fog began to lift a little bit and the signal come again. Christ defeated death, hell, and the grave. He's freed his people from sin. He's freed them from a self-effort. They not have to do anything else. He said, I've done it all. Wow. What a God tonight. I was thinking about that story of Ruth and Boaz. Oh, gracious. Oh, Ruth. Gracious. She was a Moabitess. You remember that? Law said she couldn't go to heaven. Wow. How come? Her daddy was a pedophile. Oh, yeah, had a relationship with his 2 daughters and produced the Moabites and Ammonites. She was a Moabite. Said, can't go. So when she went down there to Bethlehem with her mother-in-law, she had no hopes of doing anything. While she was down there just trying to get her a little something to eat for her and Naomi, she met an old boy down there by the name Boaz. And he got to looking at her with grace. And he told her, he said, I'm going to be your kinsman redeemer. He said, I'm going to buy you and make you, it's awful deep, I don't know if you can get it or not, mine. I can imagine now they done been married for a while. This is all in my head. It's make-believe. Don't look in the book of Ruth for this. My wife said, that's why my sermons are so long, because I think too much. But maybe one morning, Boaz was startled about 4 o'clock, looked out of the corner of his eye, and there was a little light over there, and Ruth was getting her clothes on. 4 o'clock in the morning. Awful hour. He said, honey, what in the world are you doing? She said, gleaning season starts today. She said, I'm going to go glean some. I can hear old Boaz in the bed now, probably like this. Ruth, won't you come on back and get in bed? He said, you own every cotton picking thing I do. He said, you don't have to roll out anymore. He said, just roll over, you own it all. Wow, wouldn't it be wonderful if some of you tonight would lay your dues down, pick up his dung tonight, and roll over and rest in him. He did it all. I ain't got to do nothing. Oh, what a Savior. Old Billy Kelly said he's a Savior to be proud of. Would you stand with us tonight? Our heads are bowed. Eyes are closed. Sister can come. I'd love for her to. She can. If she can't, I'll understand. Play that old song, Free from the Law. Oh, happy condition. Jesus has died. There is remission. Cursed by the law, bruised by the fall, Christ hath redeemed us once for all. I wonder if you're here tonight and it has dawned on you that you've never met the just demands of God, that He demands you to be perfect. The only way they can be met tonight is in Christ. I wonder if you'd like to come tonight and bow your unworthy self, cry out to God for His salvation, ask Him to justify you by His grace, take away your sin, declare you to be one of His children. I wonder if you're here tonight. You know you're saved, but you just flip back and forth between it's done to I got to do something. It's done, I got to do something. It's done, I got to do something. You've become the Pharisaical police. You're walking the tightrope, trying to hang on to something. I wonder if maybe you'd want to root you out a place in this altar tonight and lay down your due. Take up His done tonight. She's going to play a verse or two. We're going to wait in His presence. Altar's open tonight. I wonder maybe you'd like to come get in the altar tonight. Thank Him that all your sins are gone. Might just want to come and say, hallelujah, Lord. Thank you for taking them all. Past, present, and future. They're gone. We wait. You do whatever God will allow you to do. It'll be right. Sis, aren't you tired of trying to keep up with that list? He's got one. He said it's done. Always worried about whether your T's are crossed or whether your I's are dotted. He said, I crossed them all. I dotted them all. When I cried out, it's finished. Need to come, come. Seek Him. He can be found. Going to play one more time. This is just for you. Isn't it a struggle? Some of you have even talked to others this week and found out some things they don't do. You're thinking about maybe adding that to your list. And the list goes on. Wouldn't it be wonderful if you put your dues down, got His done? Oh, it would free you so much tonight. Do you read the Bible as a moralist tonight, trying to find out what's right and wrong? Read it as a Pharisee to see the law was never meant to be that kind. Or historian, try to find out all the facts. No, it's a Him book. It's a book about all about Him. God's speaking, why don't you come tonight? Father, we thank You tonight for the privilege to have had this book to study these days. We thank You tonight for the fact of our justification. We have no past tonight. It's been covered by the precious blood. We have no present, no future. It all looks bright from here on. I thank You for that tonight. Lord, I sense myself oftentimes slipping back, thinking that I need to please You with my little list. But I hear my companion whisper to me, "Oh, Tom, you're so foolish. You began by faith. You must live by faith in the Spirit." Lord, free us tonight from all that we could do. Realize that it is all done. We'll rejoice and thank You for it. As our preacher said tonight, hallelujah. Thank You for such a great salvation. In Your name we pray. Amen. 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 Amen.